Tess Elul, Thursday the 8th of September, by Benji Morgan. Copyright, Is It Really Yours?
Good morning, everybody. A friend of mine asked me what I was speaking on. I told him I'm speaking on copyright, and he asked me if he could have a copy of the Shia. So I just, to make it 100% clear, this year is prohibited to make any copies.
Too late to
anything. There's no recordings allowed. It's a violation of halacha. So, is there really such a thing as protection mitzat halacha? Someone makes a sefer, someone makes a CD, a recording. Is there halachic premise to say that which I have created, that which I've made, is also for you to duplicate? The truth is that nowadays it's actually more prevalent than ever. And the reason is because I remember even not so long ago, when I was growing up, to copy a tape, you'd need this like double-decker deck, and you put the one tape on one side and on the other side, and then if you were really lucky, you had a double-speed one, which could do it in half the time. But nowadays, we know within seconds, within minutes, you can copy whole programs, you can copy whole songs, whole albums. Sfarim can be copied with the latest technology very, very easily. So the Shaila has become actually even more prevalent today than it ever has been. Now, in terms of halacha and the discussions that are brought down in the poskim, it really is divided into two separate categories. The first category is actually what was more nogea in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries. And this is with regards not to the physical sefer, but rather with regards to the research, the ideas, the chidushim that were printed in the Sfarim. The second category is with regards to the physical sefer, the CD, the copyright on that too. So in the first category we would have what we would call in non-Jewish law, patents. Someone has an idea, someone has an invention, someone has a chiddush. It's an abstract, intangible thing. But now someone else wants to come after you've created that invention and just make their own factory and just copy the same collapsible chair or copy the same idea. He's not taking your chair and photocopying it. He's not taking your CD and copying it. He's just taken your idea and he's going to make his own thing. Pretty much similar to what China does with a lot of inventions. So on that we know there's such a thing as patents. That's the one halachic discussion. The second one is with regards to the actual physical material itself. So if you look through the Sfarim that were printed in between the 1600s and the 1800s, there's over 200 Sfarim which have something which is called a Haskama from Rabbanim. That besides the Haskama, that the Mechaber was an Ish Yosher B'Toiv, also what seems to be a ban on reprinting the Chidushim and sometimes the research that had been put into a Sefer. For example, someone has printed the Rambam or a Gemara, which was something which was in the public domain. There was the famous case of the Heisenheim Machzorim, which we'll see, where someone had spent time researching the Piyutim as to exactly the Nusach. There was Machzorim beforehand, but the research that had gone into the time and the effort and the investment also goes into that idea of patents. Because no one was going to take that Machzor and photocopy it. People were just going to take now the Piyut that this person had researched and then make their own publication. So it seems if you look at the beginning of these Sfarim, there's a Haskama at the beginning of the Sefer from Rabbonim that not only does it say this person is an Ish Yosher B'Toiv, but also that for a certain amount of years, sometimes it was 10, sometimes it was 20, sometimes it was 50, that for a certain amount of years, it was also to even take the same Piyut that this person had researched, the same Nusach in the Rambam this person had researched, and to reprint it. So the Shaila is, what is the halachic basis for the Takana, and what was the reason? So Pashtus, the reason why they had to make the takana was because otherwise people would have copied and it seems it would have been mutter. The Shaila Meshiv comes with a very revolutionary understanding of what this haskama was. Shaila Meshiv was the Av Beis Din Lvov. He writes in his Sefer Shaila Meshiv, Chelek Aleph Sim Mem Dalet, that faket, in the same way that if I own a car, I own a house, you can't come and take it from me, even any abstract, any intangible idea, there is also a musug and a din of bailus, of ownership, that would apply even to something abstract. And therefore, if someone has got an idea, got an invention, that invention is his. And it would be also to duplicate that, even just taking his idea, you would be over on a din gezel. So therefore he says, if someone has spent time researching, which is abstract, someone has spent time doing whatever it would be to get this piyut into print, mitzad halacha, it would be mamush also an issa gezela to take that idea and reprint it. Someone has an idea, chidush kriya, and then someone else wants to reprint that idea without his permission, then it would be mamish osa to take his own computer, take his own printing press, and retype that without his permission. An issa gezela. So in that case, he says, why did we see that there were all these haskamas and all these haramim that seem to have been written by the rabbanim? So he says, no. They were coming from a completely different angle. They wanted to put in place a heter. Because it's osa, because we know that someone who has an idea, someone has a patent, because we know that that is also because that person owns it and there's a bailus, therefore, there was a danger that no one would ever, ever reprint this Rambam, or no one would ever, ever reprint these Matzorim. And it's understood that anyone who's in this business is Lahak Dilteri Lahadir. So in order to enact that, the Mechaber would write that although I've got a bailus on this, after 20 years, or after 30 years, or after 40 years, once I've recouped my investment, of course it would be mutter for you to go and duplicate it. So instead of it being there to ask the people from duplicating it, it was actually there, because if he wouldn't have put the 20 or 30 year line on it, then in fact people would have gone on forever, never being able to do it. So it was actually a heter to him to say, after 30 years, go ahead and copy this, bevakasha. That's what the Shaila Meshiv holds. That on the abstract, in this category one of patents, there's such a thing as having a bailus, as actually owning an abstract or intangible item. The Beis Yitzchak, who was the Av Beis Din afterwards, after him, who was 20 years younger than him, in Lvov, he writes in Yerdei Achilek Beis, Simonine Beis, what are you talking about? You're talking here about something which is not physical, something which is not material. Where do we find in any of the Gemaras, where do we find in Chazal, any musuk of owning something which is an idea? In fact, he also says that it's obvious that people who write Chidushim Torah definitely wouldn't want to own it. Because Torah is there to share with other people. But he completely, completely argues with any of the ideas that are brought down in the Shaila Meshiv, and says that, of course, if someone has an idea, someone has a patent, he might have hakpada, he might not want someone else to copy it, but there's no halachic basis for someone else to take that idea and reprint it. In fact, he says that's the reason why the Rabbonim had to make a chayram on these people who would do such things, because without which, there would be mamish no isra at all. So the Chasam Sefer in Cheshem Mishpat Simonayim Test tries to trace where this came from. How did this happen? Where did it start that people would not be allowed to print for 20 or 30 years? The Mechaberim would put this at the beginning of their Sefer, sometimes from Rabbonim, these Haskamas. Where did all this start? So he traces this back to the 1500s, to a story of when the Maharam published an edition of the Rambam. And what happened was, he spent many, many years researching this, the Nusuch and all the different Lashonos that were in the Rambam. And then suddenly, just after he printed it and finally put it out to print, a non-Jewish printer by the name of Mark Antonio Justinian printed another edition and charged one gold coin less. And there was a big uproar. And people wanted to save money. So the Rama at the time put a chayrum on anyone who would buy the non-Jewish edition of the same words of this Rambam. The Chasam Sofer explains that the reason why there has to be a chayrum like this is because people are just poshut not going to do any more research. People aren't going to print svarim because they know they're going to spend years trying to get a haggad, trying to get a nusach, traveling all over the world, trying to research something. And then as soon as they put it out to print, there's not going to be any protection. So of course people want to get Torah out. Of course people want to share their ideas and their chidushim. But at the same time, they can't do that at a loss. So therefore the Rabbonim would make sure to protect the author of this chidush, to protect the author of this research, that there would be a protection that for 20 years or 30 years until he recouped his investment, it would be awesome to print. And he traces this back to the Rama and the story with the Maran. The Shaila is, what's the Makor? Where do we find in the Gemara, where do we find anywhere in Chazal such a takana? On an abstract idea that we're going to put in place an Issa to duplicate it. So the Chasam Sofer, in the same tshuva over there, traces it back to a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Nun Tes. So the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Nun Tes mentions the following halacha. Oni hamahapach b'charora. An oni which is searching in a charora, which we'll get to see what exactly that means. Avlacher, he's searching in a certain place for something. Avlacher, if not claim anyone, someone else comes and takes it from him. My, what is the halacha? Amalei nikra rosha, he's a rosha and it's asa. Someone's rummaging for something. An oni, a poor person, seems to be looking for something in a certain place. Someone else comes and rummages and actually finds and takes it from him. It's asa. So what are we talking about? Rashi says that we're talking about that this person who's looking for something, says Rashi, Mechaza acharea lizkoisba min hahefka. He's looking for something in a public domain. There's someone who's rummaging in a recycling area to look for something. Anyone's allowed there. And then you come and you see this guy. Oh, obviously he knows about something that's there. You come and go to the same spot and find the tape recorder that was thrown out. Is it mutar or asa? Says Rashi, it's asa. Tosfos completely argues. Tosfos then to Masaloni Hamahapach. He says that we don't find anywhere in the Gemara. In fact, we find many cases on Bav Metzia where the complete opposite is true. Where if you've got a case where something is in a public domain, it's a question of who gets there first. Even if someone is struggling looking for something, if you get there first, it's totally mutar. So he understands that the concept of Onim HaMahapach B'Charoro is discussing Dafka case of where someone goes to a shop or someone goes in a private place and then someone else comes and takes it from you. But of course, if it's in a public domain, there's no problem at all. So Tosfos then, because he holds that Onim HaMahapach B'Charoro in a public place is Mutter, runs into a problem. Because the Gemara on Bob Basradach for Falafon Base discusses the following scenario. People are fishing in the sea. You spread your net in the sea. A fisherman has spread his net in the sea. Public domain. According to Rashi, we understand why the Gemara over there says that another fisherman can't come and spread his net in the same place. Because this is talking about a public domain, and Rashi says in a public domain, if someone's looking for something, you can't come and take it away. But we know, says Tosfos, his shita is that in a public place, it's mutter for you to come, even though this person is rummaging in that place. So surely, in this case in Baba Basra, says Tosfos, where we see someone is rummaging, so to speak, he's spread his fish net out, but it's a fisherman's net in a public place. Why does the Gemara say that you have to go to a completely different place? In fact, the distance that you need to go is as far as those fish in that area would swim away. So why would there be a basis to do this, since that if this isn't a public domain, it should be totally mutter? Says Rabbeinu Meir, who is the father of Rabbeinu Tam, that the reason why in this case of the fisherman's net it's asa, is because this person has put tremendous effort and kochos into spreading his net. In fact, the way they would do it was they would put a dead fish inside the net, and that would attract all the other fish to come and eat it. So when this new fisherman comes, he's actually enjoying and reaping the benefits of, so to speak, the effort and the research, if you like, of what this first fisherman has done. And that is why, in the case of Abu Basra, the fisherman's net, even though it's in public domain, says today's verse, it's awesome. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is the makor where we see the Chazal, Mipnei Takonas Hashuk, can actually put something in place where we see that someone has put their research into something, someone's put their livelihood into something, this fisherman has spent time and effort, and now you want to come and just reap the benefits. No, of course, he spread his net, he's put his bait there, and now it's a no-brainer to come into that area where all the fish have come to because of my work. And the Gemara Bava Basra clearly states that it's awesome. Says the Chasam Sofer that this is the makor, this is the reason why there was a takana which was put place through the 1600s, through the 1700s, through the 1800s from Rabbonim, but pnei takanas hashuk, based on the Gemara with the fisherman's net. So far, we've had the shift of the Shailu Meishiv. He holds that there's a patent, there's a bailus, which is la'ilam, and there would be no reason for a takana. The Beis Yitzchak, who holds haket, that there's no bailus at all. And the Chasam Sofer holds that midin yoyrid, mipnei takanas hashuk. The Chazal have a right, based on the Gemara and Bava Basra Chafav. But all these three shittas are all in the first category. All these three shittas that we've discussed are all with regards to something abstract. Someone spent time, someone spent effort, someone hasn't, but no one has actually, you're not actually taking his bait and then putting it in your net. Everything is talking about something which is the effort that has been put in, the research that has been put in, the ideas, and now someone wants to duplicate it. What's the halacha with regards to what we know today towards whether that is regards to MP3s or Sfarim? Not taking the abstract idea, but taking the actual physical sefer, making a photocopy, taking the actual CD and loading it onto your hard drive and then making more CDs or whatever else you would do with it. So Rav Moshe, Nigros Moshe, Rechaim, Chelik Dalet, Simon Mem, Eisiv Tes, he writes, and he's discussing two different cases. First, he discusses a Maggid Shia who has a hakpada that his Shia shouldn't be recorded. Can a Maggid Shia come into a room and tell his Talmidim, I don't want this Shia to be recorded, I've got a hakpada. Do I own this Shia? So Rav Moshe says that if it's for their own personal use, a Maggid Shia has no right to say to his Talmidim, you can't record it. They can write it down, they can record it. But if they want to make a copy and sell it, or to share it in the public domain, that they're not allowed to do. And moreover, someone who has made a tape to make money, then it's poshut, says Rav Moshe, that when he sells it to you, it's not that he should lose money. It's an umdana, that when he sells you, and it's understood that he's made this so that he can make a profit, that you've got it on the tnai, that he doesn't make a duplication. And therefore, if someone would make a duplicate of a tape or a CD, says Rav Moshe, it's an issa gezer. Now it's actually interesting, because at the beginning he seems to say a Maggid Shia can't say to his Talmidim that it's also to copy. And it seems to be that he holds, not like the Shaila Meishiv. Because according to the Shaila Meishiv, if it's your chidushim, if it's your idea, a Maggid Shia would even be allowed to say to his own Talmidim, you're not allowed to copy this, you can't write this down, you can't record this. So it seems like he holds like the Beis Yitzchak in that regard. That when it comes to ideas or abstract things, it's mutter for someone to say to his Talmidim, and he has the right. It's mutter for the Talmidim to say, you've got no right over these ideas, and there's no such thing as a bailus on an abstract idea. But says Rav Moshe, with regards to the actual physical tape that's been made to make money, of course there's a tenai that I'm selling this to you, it's understood that this mekach is not that I'm going to lose from it, but rather the mekach is there that I'm going to profit from it, and if you're going to damage me, then it's total gazela. So the Maaseh, they bring down from Shlomo Zalman, in Shai's Tshuva Tzoyer, in Chelik Yud Beis, from Shlomo Zalman Neubach, he says, he mamash doesn't understand what Moshe is saying. And he says, there is definitely no such thing, when I sell a CD, or when I sell a sefer, that there's a tenai. And he proves it. How does he know? He asks the following question. If I go to a CD shop and I buy a CD, going to Rav Moshe, there's a Tanai that I'm selling you this CD, but Tanai that you don't copy it. So we know that the concept of Tanai works like this. If I make a Tanai with you on a Mekach, I make a Tanai with you on a sale, and I say I'm giving this object to you on condition that you don't do such and such with it. That's fine. If you go then and do such and such with it, and you're over on the Tanai, then the Mekach is bottled. And that means that you take the CD back, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. If someone goes and copies a CD, someone buys a CD, he then goes to his own house, and copies the CD. Going to Rav Moshe, he's been over on the Tanai. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he should be able to go back to the store and say, listen, you made the condition with me, alright? The condition was I wasn't going to duplicate it, I've actually duplicated it. Yes, I was over on the Tanai. But now in that case, please can I have my money back? So, of course, the Moicha is never going to say, yeah, sure, here's your money back. Okay, he'll take off the amount of Tircha, whatever it would be, the cost of what it costed him. But no one's going to say, I'm going to give you the money back. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, so obviously this Tanai is not a real Tanai in the Mecca. So in that case, Mitzad the Tanai, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it can't be that it would be awesome. So the Maisa, how are we going to protect these people that make publications, make CDs? It's actually always interesting, whenever you come across these shaylas, it comes from two different perspectives. There's the question of protecting the author, and then you've got the shaylah of the person who wants to copy it. And everyone's always looking for the heter mitzad then. But Rav Zalman Lechem is coming, how can we protect the author? So he comes over up with a very interesting idea. He points to the Gemara Bava Metzia Chaf Dalet, which says there's a concept of when I'm selling something to you in a transaction, that I can actually withhold rights. It's called shiur. I can actually withhold rights on this item and say this item completely belongs to you, except with regards to one thing. The Gemara there is discussing, I say, listen, here I'm selling you this cow, but if the cow is yours, do with it what you want, but its children, if it has any, will belong to me. I'm selling you this sheep, completely yours, but the wool and the shearings from it will belong to me. It's called shiur. It's withholding the buyers, withholding the rights of ownership with regards to one aspect of the ownership. Says Rav Zalman Lechemia, when someone owns a tape and then he sells it to someone else, he's selling with him all different usages, and one of those usages is the usage of being able to copy it. So he comes up with a very interesting idea. He says that the way people should be selling tapes or selling books is that I'm selling it to you and it will belong to you except for one thing. The right to copy it. And he says, in that case, there's Manashim occurring in the Gemara that would be totally awesome for that other person to sell it. But he points out... That's what a Tanai is?
That was the Tanai.
That is what a Tanai is. So he said...
No, that was the Tanai is the condition of my buying the disc.
That is what Rav Zalman says you should do. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the seller means.
That is what he means, but he has to say it. It's not in your heart.
It's written there.
Yes, so that's what Rav Zalman Lechemia says. So if you write it...
Copyright on the...
Right. Well, yeah, so as I say... So
what happens if goes this guy in quarter with it now? And now he says that...
That's Manash what Rav Zalman Lechemia says. He says two things, both of the points which you pointed out. Number one is, it would have to be actually written in such a lashon of shir. It would so according to Rav Zalman Lechemia, it wouldn't be helpful to just say it tonight, because according to that, you'd have Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he says, you'd have to write, I'm selling you the CD... only on condition, and only with the right of listening to it or using it, except for one usage, which is the use of copying it. So it would have to write that nusach on the CD or on the book. Number two, which is the point that you pointed out, number two is, says Rav Zalman Lechemia, it would only be applicable to the first CD that was copied. The first CD, before it's been copied, has only one usage on it. And that's to listen or whatever it is, except for copying. But once someone has made a copy, on that the Moicha has no shear anymore. So if someone's over and makes a copy, and then someone else comes and then copies that, on that there's no shear, there's no Tanai Bibus on that.
I meant something else. You take the original copy that you bought in the shop, and he sells it to somebody else. Can the second person now copy it?
Right,
he didn't buy it with his knife.
He didn't buy it with his knife, but if it's written, or if it's
sounds like
it's...
No, he takes off the label at first part. You can take it off, you're allowed to take it off.
So that's what Rav Zalman Lechemia says. So now the question is like this. According to these, we see the different shittas. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Zalman Chemi, is it muta? Because the Maaseh in that same tshuva, the Beis Yitzchak, he brings down that although he holds that in mitzad the category that we mentioned, the first category, the patents, the ideas, obviously there's no bias on it, but he says that it would be one protection for the author, and that is the copyright laws of each country. We know there's halacha of dina to malchus adina. If you live in a country which is recognized as a malchus, then the dinim and the laws of that country actually become halacha, that you would be, it would be osur to go against the laws of those of that country. So says the Beis Yitzchak that with regards to the patent, there's no bailus. With regards to the dinyerut, there's no problem. But on the actual copyright laws of that country, there you're going to run into problems. So, I looked up the law and the copyright of this country and the 1988 Copyright Designs and Patents Act states that the duration of copyright for artistic works or books is 70 years from the end of the calendar year in which the last remaining author of the work dies. Now, what's the nafka min of the halacha? Nafka min is like this. It seems to be that the dina d'malchus adina no one would argue with. But, how long after the author dies does this copyright remain in place, could make a big nafka mina. You see, according to the Shulam Meshiv, it's actually forever. This person owns the idea. So even though mitzad dina de malchusa, after 70 years, it's finished, but this goes on forever, which is exactly the reason why he says, unless the owner stipulates after 20 or 30 years, it's osur la'olam. According to the Beis Yitzchak, it's only, according to the Chasam Sofer, it's until he recoups his investment. That could be 100 years, that could be 20 years, we don't know. But according to the Beis Yitzchak, if all you've got to rely on is the Dina to Machlus Adina, then that will vary and change in every country. And in fact, that it could finish after 70 years. There's also quite a few Nafka Minas if we go according to the Dina to Machlus Adina route. If your last resort is Dina to Machlus Adina, then in cases where the Malchus isn't recognized mitzad halacha, there's machlokes apostolic today in Eretz Yisrael, then it could be, it will be totally mutter, because if you're relying on Shlomo Zalman, then there's no tonight. And if even according to Zalman Nechemia, it's only if it's stipulated in such a way. Masha'in Kain, according to the Shulam Meshiv, once someone owns this thing, he's got a bailus on it, forever it's also, it doesn't matter whether he's not relying on the Dina de Malchus Adina to prohibit the copyright. Another nafka mina is for classroom use. Rav Vozna in Shirat HaLevi, Chelik Dalet, says that if someone is copying an article or a chapter of a book for his own personal use or for classroom use, it's muta. And in fact, he says it's a mitzvah to copy it because you're saving all the Talmidim in the class the money at the expense of having to go out and buy their own sefer.
Asgard don't like it then.
Yeah, Asgard don't like it. That's why they got Rabbi Yaakov Bloy to write a tshuva. No, they didn't get it, but that's Rabbi Yaakov Bloy writes. Rabbi Yaakov Bloy writes.
Sponsored by.
Yeah, sponsored by. I was wondering why they paid for that. Rabbi Yaakov Bloy writes, faket. What one posuk is a mitzvah, he holds as an avera. And it could be very much tailor on these different shittas. Because if you hold that the entire basis of the halacha is copyright, dina de malchus adina, then in the English law, and in most copyright laws, it's written that there's a fair use policy with regards to any ownership of any item. So if you're using it for your own use or for classroom use, it could very well go into a fair use policy, so there's no issa. So therefore, the dina machlus adina, according to dina machlus adina, is totally muta, says Rav Vozna, it's muta. But Rabbi Yaakov Bloy argues with him. Why? Because if you hold like any of the shittas, like the Chasam Sofer, or if, like the Shulam Meshiv, that there's other halachic basis to asa, then this idea or this patent or whatever this person is being tailored on is going to be also either midin yerud or midin gezel, or like we saw for Rav Moshe, that is total geneva because there's a tanai. So therefore, even for classroom use, if the tanai is kayam, then it would be also. So the chayra, it's very, very hard to find a heter in England to copy a tape, but it mamish depends on whether you're relying on copyright and the dina de malchus adina, A, as to how long it's going to last for this chayram. And second of all, even if it is muta, the fair use policy and other areas, there's going to be nafka minas whether you're relying on the dina of Malchus Adina or not. Thank you very much. Yeah.